week's edition of Smile Politely Radio.
You are listening to Smile Politely Radio. SmilePolitely.com is the place to go for all things local. Arts, culture, food and drink, music, opinion, tech, and more. I'm Rebecca, and I'm joined this week by two people from the Champaign Park District, Chelsea Norton, who's the Director of Marketing and Communications, and also Katie Hicks, the Douglas Program Coordinator. Hi.
Hello. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for being here on this very hot day, which has been making me think a lot about avoiding the outdoors, to be honest. But I know that there's lots happening at the Champaign Park District this summer that invites people to be outside. So to get us started, can you tell us a little bit about what's happening with the Park District this summer?
Well, sure, yeah. I'd love to tell you everything we have going on. I wish I could, but there's so much. This weekend alone, which is June 18th, we have 4 different events happening.
Wow.
3 of which are outdoors, so there's a 1 indoor opportunity, but we have Juneteenth.
That's where I'll have to be.
Right? That's at the Virginia Theater, so you'll be happy there, I'm sure. Chicago, as performed by Central High School. So that's going to be really neat. Juneteenth at Douglas Park. We have the Street Fest, our first Street Fest of the year, which is happening Saturday night in downtown Champaign. Free music festival. Tons of stuff going on that it's hard to even kind of wrap my brain around it sometimes, but it's really exciting.
Tell me more about the Street Fest. This is the first Street Fest that's happening. What kinds of events are going to be in place for people to take a look at?
Sure, yeah. Street Fest is downtown Champaign, June 18th. It starts at 7 o'clock. It goes until midnight. We will have certain areas of the street closed off around the Neal and Main Street area, so in front of Guido's and Big Grove and all of those places. So it's all about the music, primarily. We have The New and Slightly Used is the opening band. Jim Markham Swing Band is the second one. And then the closer is Sun Stereo, local electronic rock, which will be really, really exciting. But then there are other activities. It's definitely a family-friendly event. I mean, it's up to you how late you want to keep your family there. But there will be TCBY and some food trucks to get your snack on. Or you can get food and beverage from the local establishments, and since the streets are closed, you can carry them to the stage. So we're really looking forward to it, and it's a free event, so it'll be fun. It's supposed to be warm, but I think comfortable as the rain's going to calm down a little bit.
Awesome. So can you tell us a little bit about what's happening later in the summer with Champaign Park District?
Yeah, so we have a number of events happening. Street Fest is the first one. There's a second Street Fest in July on the 16th in downtown Champaign, which will once again feature more bands. CU Days is a big event that happens at Douglas Park, and that's a festival that's been going on for, 40 years in Champaign. It's a really big deal. And that's a fun one because that's, once again, music, basketball tournaments, very, very community-focused. And then
very family-friendly.
Yeah. Oh, we're showing The Sandlot on the first
Friday,
night of that event.
Friday, August 12th, and it'll start at dusk.
Wonderful.
Yeah, movie in the park. I mean, what's not to love? And then, of course, our biggest event of the summer is Taste of Champaign-Urbana. So that's happening in mid-August. But that's a huge event that actually is a fundraiser, which a lot of people don't realize. It funds our youth scholarship fund. So that helps local area youth participate in programs that they might not otherwise be able to afford. So actually, when you buy food and drink at Taste, you are supporting a local cause, and it helps children to attend day camps, swim lessons, sports programs that keeps them active, both physically and socially, and all those things that you need, which I think is really important. So it helps, you know, area youth that can't afford that otherwise. So it's a good cause. And then we have a number of programs happening, like day camps and swim lessons and cultural arts programming. It's just, we do 1,000 programs a year or more than that. So the summer is a bulk of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so I know that one of the programs that is coming up is day camp, right? Mm-hmm. Girls Explore.
We are currently in day camp season.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Week 3, going on to week 4, starting June 20th.
Yep.
All right.
I'm like, I don't know.
So tell me a little bit about Girls Explore. What is the kind of core of the day camp, and who's attending, and who is it open to?
So Girls Explore is a special day camp that happens at the Douglas Community Center, and it actually runs 11 weeks, which our traditional day camps only run 10 weeks. And it's focused
on... So you get, like, a bonus week.
You get a bonus week. And the last week is actually a leadership week. So the first 10 weeks are heavily focused on STEM topics, so science, technology, engineering, and math. And we also do art, so we are heading to that trend of STEAM instead of STEM. And they are for 4th through 7th graders going into those grades. And a variety of topics. So we do a week of 3D printing. We do a week of coding. We spend a week in the kitchen with the education coordinator at Common Ground. So they get to cook. Archaeology. And 1 week they also get to explore the state of Illinois. It's in conjunction with the Museum of the Grand Prairie. And that camp is focused on natural history and the early settlers of Illinois. So they'll spend some time out wandering around Mahomet at Lake of the Woods and Buffalo Trace, their prairie.
That's wonderful. Could you talk a little bit about why the focus of this camp is specifically girls exploring, as you said, STEAM fields? Mm-hmm.
So the studies have shown that there is a... We haven't even got there yet, but there is a need for women in the STEM fields, and especially minority women. They tend to start the classes in college, but then they just lose that self-confidence that they see it's a heavily male staff or male field, and they decide to drop out. So our goal with Girls Explore is to get the girls interested early before they drop out. Really, in middle school is where we see that shift. If they're lucky to make it to college, they may drop out, but most of them will drop out early in middle school. So we want to get them interested, build their self-confidence, let them know, you know, it is something obtainable, you can do it. And we work a lot with our community and scientists that are already out working. Some of them are graduate students from the U of I, some of them are professors, and... the girls really enjoy getting to know people who are currently working in the field.
That's wonderful. That sounds like a fascinating program. It sounds like a kind of introduction to a lot of different fields within the community.
It's crazy, like, the topics that I can pull, and I'm so grateful for the U of I to be here because a lot of their graduate students are like, yeah, this interests us, so we would be happy to help out. And this week... we started an astronomy camp, which is the first year for it, and they're spending 5 hours a day with the astronomy department and doing observations and different types of experiments to learn about stars and the planet and the sun. So.
Wonderful. So people can still enroll for Girls Explore even mm-hmm. though it's already started, right?
That is correct. So our camps are weekly and they go by theme. And so you can register the week prior, or even if we have space, the day that camp starts.
Awesome. So what else is going on at the Douglas Community Center this summer?
So we have day camp. We also have, which is not well known, we have teen camp for our middle schoolers. And Juneteenth is coming up on June 18th.
What happens at teen camp, I have to ask?
They spend most of their time off-site on field trips. So Thursdays... they always take a out-of-town field trip with her. That's Chicago or Indianapolis, Bloomington, St. Louis, doing a variety of things that coincide with our themes for the week. And then the rest of the week, they're doing things like bowling. They do so much. They go putt-putt golfing. They went and saw a movie yesterday. So it's really like a 10-hour day hangout for the kids. They get to know each other, they get to know their leaders, and they also do traditional day camp things like play sports, go to the pool if they wanted to, but they're too cool, we let them go to the splash pad. So it's really team building, and mostly it's for social, just so they get to know about one another, and also just learning about the world around them.
And I think that's something worth mentioning about all of our day camps, whether mm-hmm. you're talking about Girls Explore or an arts day camp, which we do have at Springer Cultural Center, that I think parents fear, well, my kids are in school all year, and I don't want to make them be in school at day camp. But it's not like that because it's hands-on activities and socialization. And Girls Explore day campers, they still go to the pool, and they still go play in the park. because we understand the value of being active and being outside. So it's not like they're in this strict academic environment and they need to get good grades in their biology camp. Yeah. But it's just, like you said, introducing them to new topics that maybe they didn't realize. As a girl, they don't have a lot of influence of women in that field or whatever, and so it kind of introduces them, but they still get to have the fun elements and go on field trips and stuff like that.
So the way Girls Explore is organized is in the morning they spend a majority of their time focusing on the topic of the week, and then the afternoons heavily focused on recreation, whether that's the splash pad, swimming, putt-putt, going to skate land, doing all those things you love to do as a kid, but with a whole new group of friends.
So, a few minutes ago, you mentioned the Juneteenth celebration coming up at Douglas Community Center. Could you talk a little bit about that event, which is, I know, a really big event in Champaign-Urbana?
Yeah, so Juneteenth takes place on June 18th, and if Chelsea could remind me of times, that'd be awesome.
It's 12 to 3.
12 to 3. Mm-hmm. And there'll be vendors, so like a face painter, balloon animals, and then they will also, they always read the Emancipation Proclamation. Mm-hmm.
There's, like you said, just kind of festival type events because it really is a celebration of the abolition of slavery. So, food vendors this year, I haven't heard. Often we'll have at least like snow cones and things like that.
Yeah, so. And I think it's important to say that it's in conjunction with the Douglas Branch Library. So we team up and put the event on.
So you've highlighted lots of different programs that are happening across the summer, from, you know, public events to day camps and all other kinds of things. Could you talk a little bit about who Champaign Park District sees as its target audience for these events? What kind of arms of the community do you think of bringing into the different programs that you do over the summer especially?
That is a really interesting question. I mean, I think when people think of the Park District, they think of kids first and family second, but we really do serve every single member of the community. We mentioned the 50 plus program. That is a program for seniors, and it's actually a very active and engaged community that will come and do fitness activities together, crafting, quilting, you know, things like that together.
Coloring. They also take field trips.
They do, yeah.
And they have dinners out as a group, or they do a breakfast, and they also do potlucks. There's a lot of eating
at the senior events.
Yes. But that sounds like my speech. Sure.
Seriously, you have to attend one of their bingos or something. It's probably intense. The best time you'll ever have. So yeah, I think the common response when mentioning the Champaign Park District is to think of that, which we very much are, kid and family. I mean, it's a big part of our mission, but we really do strive to serve everyone. So with a lot of our events, it's really interesting how we'll see families come out, like for the start of Street Fest, for example. We'll see families at the beginning, and then it kind of transitions into this more 20-somethings, you know, single kind of demographic. But everyone has a great time, and we all interact really well. It's a lot of fun.
And I think it's worth mentioning that we often are their first introduction to anything, whether that's dance or music or day camp or maybe a STEM camp. So, That's our goal, is to get people involved and engaged and interested in all variety of topics.
And I understand that a lot of the programs that Champaign Park District puts on are very accessible in terms of cost for people as well.
They are.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we strive to make our programs accessible to everyone, whether they have financial difficulty or even accessibility issues as far as physical, you know, special needs sort of things too. But we do have a youth scholarship program. So I think I mentioned this earlier, the Taste of Champaign-Urbana is a fundraiser for. But if you are kind of nervous about the cost of day camp, which can be an extreme cost for a parent over the summer, we do have a scholarship program that you can sign up for, fill out a very simple application, and get financial assistance to go to our day camps or, like I said, swim lessons, soccer programs. There's a variety of ways you can utilize that.
So what I have to say that when I think about parks, I think about programming, obviously, but also the kind of physical outdoor spaces. And we have wonderful parks in both Champaign and Urbana, of course. And so I was wondering if you could highlight, you know, the kind of unexpected or more hidden parks within Champaign Park District that you think people might not be as aware of unless those parks happen to be in their particular neighborhood?
Sure, yeah, that's actually worth mentioning because we do have 60 parks in Champaign alone that we maintain. So that's a lot for people to be aware of, and even I find I'm still kind of discovering what's at each park sometimes. So my favorite one to mention when someone's asking, oh, what new park should I explore? I always say Porter Park.
That's one of my favorites.
Katie's favorite too. because it is a very, it's a more of a naturescape. We have a lot of restored prairie life there, a lot of native species, or not native plant species to Illinois in that park, and we've been working really hard to restore it that way. So actually, the summer is a great time to visit because there's what feels like miles of coneflowers. Really, it's not that large of a park, but it has that feel because you are in West Champaign. So Porter Park,
open.
Yeah, it's very open, beautiful place to see a sunset. There's a pond with a deck. There is a nature playground, a nature-themed playground, which is really cool. You can go down a slide that looks like a log, so that's kids like that sort of thing. But Porter Park is on the corner of Rising and
Windsor.
Rising and Windsor Roads. Mm-hmm. It's actually really close to the dog park that we maintain. So that's worth getting out there and checking out.
Katie, and it also, with that park, I think it's important is there's a walking path, and along that walking path there are little, there are little boards that have information about the wildlife or plants. So that's really cool for families to walk through and get to read those and learn a little bit, but still having a fun time in the park.
Yeah.
One of my favorite parks to go through is Mattis Park. I ride through there I ride my bike a lot. And so I ride through there every week, at least once, twice, three times a week, to connect to, like, our Bulwer pathway that goes behind Fox Drive. And it has a waterway, and unfortunately, a lot of geese.
Yeah, there are a lot of geese, but they're like the nice ones. I feel like I never have any issues, and I go there a lot too.
And there's a lot of there's some pavilions and some park benches, so you can actually stop and just like sit and, you know, gaze at the water.
Yeah, there's a lake.
Think about at life. That park. Yeah, it's a lake, I guess, a pond.
Sure.
And so
yeah, you can fish there, so that's kind of cool too.
It's
not one of our stocked ponds, but Kaufman Lake is stocked, so a lot of people like
very
to venture
busy
there for fishing and for hiking. Like we do have a lot of trails, and we're working actually on a new master trails plan to connect those more throughout Champaign. But you can actually, when you visit our website, champaignparks.com, you can go to our trails page and look at a Google map and see, like, how long each trail is. And same with, actually, the perimeter pathways at Hessel Park or Centennial Park. So if you're looking to go for maybe a two-mile run or something like that, you can actually use the maps on our website to kind of plot where to go and how far you're going to end up going.
And Kaufman Lake actually is on the Green Beltway. So if you take the Green Beltway, which is a walking, biking path, it'll take you straight to Heritage, which is about to undergo some huge improvements that are going to make residents in that area very happy. So,
could you talk more about the changes to that park? I mean, I'm curious to know more about the improvements to various parks around Champaign, because they look beautiful as is, but then it seems like every year I hear about a project of improving some of the parks that exist.
Some of the issues with the Heritage is the runoff from all the rain. It comes right in there. It's a retention pond, and it's eroding the banks away. So from my understanding, I'm not a construction person, but they are putting a dam up or a spillway to control the flow of water into it. And also the walking path is going to be expanded and go around the pond.
Yeah, so Heritage Park is actually right across from Parkland College. So if you're kind of curious, where is this place anyway, that's where it is. It's right off of Bradley Avenue and across from Dodds Park as well, if you're familiar with Dodds Park. So there's a large lake there, and like Katie said, there's an erosion issue, and there's some residential areas nearby. So we want to work to avoid any future issues. So our park planners are very, very smart in figuring out how to do this in creative ways. So she mentioned the spillway, yes. And then there will also be a bit of a boardwalk going completely around the lake, which isn't currently a thing. There's a trail off to the side of it that connects to Kaufman Lake, which is kind of a cool little bike path or walk. Mm-hmm. But this will give you the opportunity to just really enjoy the beauty of that lake, because I do see a lot of, you know, ducks and geese and frogs and things like that there.
A lot of times I'll see herons out there, too.
Yeah.
I spend a lot of time out there.
Which is, it's a beautiful park, so this is really intended to enhance the user experience, so that you don't go there and just kind of think, well, what do I do now? Mm-hmm. But instead, you're guided to explore the nature of that area. So we're really excited for that. And another update that we're doing right now is the new playground at Hessel Park. So if you've been to Hessel recently, you probably see these really large fences up. And what's cool about the way we're doing this project is that we're actually placing the playground in a totally different spot from the current playground. So we're not disrupting summertime play at Hessel Park, because it is a community gem. So the new playground is being built, and I think it's slightly south from the current playground. Mm-hmm. And then once that is done, which should be by the end of fall, then we're going to start working on the new splash pad. So there's currently a splash pad there. If you don't know what that is, it's like a little water play area where it's really just a pad that has, currently it has, you know, some animals cutely spouting water out of their mouths, like little fountains. It's 20 years old.
Oh, wow.
And it needs to be larger because it gets a lot of use, and it needs to be updated to be more interactive. So if you have visited Douglas Park, there is a new splash pad there. Hessel's will be very similar and slightly larger.
I heard it's
going
to be double the size.
Double the size. I don't know.
I don't know if that's true, but it's supposed to be very large, and since Hessel is such a heavily used park, it's probably going to be very large.
Yeah, that's definitely the intention, is to make lots of space for lots of people to play happily. So when the old playground is demolished, that's where approximately where the splash pad is going to go. So they'll build that in the fall, so it'll be ready for next summer. So unfortunately, no new splash pad this summer. But the one that is there is currently operational, and you can go play and have fun.
And they're going to also update the bathroom facilities so that, since they're looking for an increase, I'm sure, in usage.
Improving the accessibility is important, too. We are adding a port-in-place surface under the playground. So what that means is, well, it's a really nice surface to walk on. It's cushiony and almost kind of bouncy, which kids really get a kick out of. But it's safer for falls. But it also gives the ability for more wheelchair accessibility as compared to having mulch in a playground, which can be a little prohibiting. So we're adding the port-in-place surface, which a few of our other parks
currently has. So if anybody's visit Douglas, it'll be very similar.
Yeah, Douglas, Centennial, Eisner Park. Eisner Park actually has, while we're talking about playgrounds and things, we actually have a universally designed playground there, which is intended for full accessibility at that playground. So all of our playgrounds are ADA compliant for sure, and we really strive to make them accessible, but Eisner's is unique in that it's universally designed and fully accessible. So yeah, lots of fun things happening.
Yeah, wonderful. I'm sort of overwhelmed by all the things that you've mentioned, both programming and ways to be outside and enjoy the sometimes wonderful and sometimes totally oppressive heat that we have here in East Central Illinois.
Yeah, that's why you gotta go to a splash pad and just like cool down in the water, or go to Sholem Aquatic Center and, you know, dive into the pool a little bit and have some fun.
Or lay on the lazy river.
There you go.
This is true. Well, Chelsea and Katie, thank you so much for joining me to talk about everything that's happening at Champaign Park District.
Thanks for having us.
For the remainder of the program, we'll hear poetry read by Carrie Smith. Carrie read recently at the Reading Room, an open mic night for literary artists that takes place at the Accord.
My name is Carrie Smith. I live in Urbana. I've lived there for about 5 years, originally from Western Illinois. I've been writing poetry since probably junior high, like everyone else's really bad junior high poetry. Hopefully gotten a little better as I've grown up. I try to write poetry that's really meaningful to me. Not so good with the rhymes, but try to write something that evokes feelings or images. And my central question of late has been, what does it mean to be human? So a lot of my poetry kind of asks that question in the poetry. Bearing. It's not that I have perky breasts. It's that I have belly rolls, love handles, and famine-proof hips. My hair is not shiny, nor resembles the shade advertised on the box. Mine is coarse, straight, and many varieties of blonde, brown, and gray, highlights and lowlights provided by each sunrise and each sunset. I do not have abs of steel I purchased with a gym membership, but muscles developed by moving my body in my day's moment. I enjoy being strong and capable, though I've been told these are not desirable feminine traits. I'm not smooth and hairless, some faux prepubescent fantasy. I have hair all over, occasionally sprouting in unusual places. I do not smell of roses, unless I'm holding one from my garden. I smell of the animal I am, musky, alluring to other animals. I am my natural way, reminiscent of birds, wind, and mountains. I'm not airbrushed nor photoshopped. I stand before you, raw and for real, life-sized, basking in the beauty that emerges without effort. I am a mirror of the universe, of you, as you are of me. I stand as a beacon, requesting the authentic to show itself, to be present in the arena of one's own struggle. For if we are to remember what it is to be human, not a cog, not a slave, not a TV apparition, then let us spin the bottle and begin our emotional stripping in the here and now. My belly rolls, my flaws, all of them, are my certificate of authenticity, my natural wabi-sabi style. I can't help but be myself, wholly, wholly human. The next poem is called Crow. The shackles lay at my feet, broken. The ruins, I walk around them 100 years before. Civilizations, tall buildings, crumbling ruins yet to rise. I stagger around the city in the magic dusk dawn of every time. The matches in my pocket, I feel them crackle with anticipation. The concrete rivers flow beneath my feet. The steel and glass jungle whispers its secrets to me. I am man, straightening her back and walking upright. I reclaim my territory, my hunting grounds. I dissolve their images of desire, replacing them with my own. I desire to be human, only human. I crumple up my domesticity and use it as tinder for my matches. And my last poem has no title. When we feel we've lost our way, are confused or unsettled, we ask our ancestors for help and guidance. Their feet walked the path. We fear this shift, this inevitable shift of life change. We adapt as our climate adapts, when we have options and when we have no options. We adapt to the flow of life. The crows caught us into remembering the circle of life, the cycles, the webs. We remember we are the earth. We do not destroy ourselves for abstract insanity. We remember we are the earth. We connect and are connected. We have power with and no need for power over. We offer our hearts and hands to our grandchildren's grandchildren. It is at their altar we pray.
WEFT is conducting a survey of our listeners. Please go to the homepage at weft.org and click on the link to take the 2-minute survey. We appreciate your feedback and everything like that. And make sure to call the phone number at 359-9338. I'm trying to look at some things and see what they say, but I'm going to get back with that and everything like that. But I want to get back to the public and say, how have you been doing? East Central Illinois, Champaign, Urbana, everybody out there, how have you been doing? There's been a whole lot going on and a whole lot happening. And
And I just want to give shouts out to my main man, Muhammad Ali. Yes, that's right, the greatest. The greatest of all time. And I got to give some shouts out to my man, you know. Float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. Nobody could beat Muhammad Ali. And I got to give it up.